Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in you, O Lord. Amen. Nationalism, secularism, fear of others, a lack of following the reign of Christ. No, I did not just take these out of the headlines, though I might have. These are some of the exact reasons that in 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King. As the world had just finished a war to end all wars, and nations were clamoring for power, Pope Pius decided that the church needed a reminder of who their ultimate authority was. Many churches still use this title for the feast day, but in an effort to move away from damaging and hurtful patriarchal language, we call it the Feast of the Reign of Christ. Today's feast is still a reminder that the reign of Christ is our ultimate authority. Christ is our ultimate authority. We in the United States don't necessarily have a clear concept of what it means to have a king or be under an ultimate authority. The closest examples we have are from the UK, and we frequently romanticize that. Many here in Berkeley have spent their lives challenging what authority has said, and in an academic atmosphere, challenging and asking questions is exactly what should be happening. Thus, wrapping our heads around the concept of an ultimate authority in Christ isn't easy. In the reading from 2 Samuel, we hear some of the positive attributes of a good ruler or authority figure. The scripture is clear that the authority figure isn't God, but is anointed by God. This authority is acting in just ways and is ruling by God's favor. The authority answers to God, the ultimate authority, knowing that the earthly authority has to answer to God, and the fact that the earthly authority has a faithful relationship with God shapes how they rule. They rule in ways that care for and protect the vulnerable. In the gospel reading today, we find Pilate questioning Jesus and asking him if he is the king of the Jews. Pilate asks if he is a king because Pilate cares if there is someone with authority that is going to cause issues for the Romans. This is an earthly and nationalist question. What does Jesus have to say about being a king? Jesus tells Pilate that his kingdom isn't from here. He continues to say that if his kingdom was from here, his followers would be fighting to keep him from being handed over to the authorities. Jesus has just shown us what earthly followers of an earthly authority would do. And yet, that isn't what his followers are doing, because the reign of Christ is different. In the here and now, our culture provides many things tempting us to take them as our ultimate authority. Frequently, it is easier to give authority to our politicians, economists, accountants, celebrities, teachers, and friends than it is to give authority to Christ. Why is it so hard to give ultimate authority to Christ in our lives? I recently learned that in the 60s, the motto of many in Berkeley was trust nobody over the age of 30. And, well, Jesus was 33. But seriously, this is a Christian issue and not a Berkeley issue. Perhaps saying Christ is our ultimate authority is hard because we are trained to question everything and everybody. We are, in ways, anti-authoritarian, and everything that is said is up for debate, questioning, and the need of proof that it is indeed right or wrong. Or maybe we struggle because we boldly claim we are, because if we boldly claim we are Christians, we run the risk of being grouped or associated with other people that have radical and hateful ideas and beliefs that don't match what we believe the values of the reign of Christ are, actually. Or maybe it is that we don't really feel comfortable about how giving Christ ultimate authority would work. We like to have plans and processes and step-by-step instructions, even if we choose not to read them. This is a place where a point-by-point list would be helpful. Something like, to claim the reign of Christ, do the following list in step-by-step order. What makes it even harder is that there are abstract terms, metaphors, and images that are confusing and hard to understand. Perhaps we are afraid of the consequences. If we boldly allow Christ such authority in our lives, what will that mean? Will we really have to sell all of our belongings? Move? What will God ask of us? Will we have to take a stand? What if people stare at us or are hurtful? The unknowns can be scary and are just about enough for people to turn and run. Maybe we need more conversations to learn and bounce ideas off of one another, or places of quiet to listen so that we can hear what God is saying right now in this moment. Perhaps we just like power and our own authority, and accepting the reign of Christ would mean having to give that up. Truthfully, the reasons are likely as varied as we are in this church. Each one of us brings our own personal mix of reasons why it is challenging for us to accept the reign of Christ. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week, we find ourselves at the beginning of the new church year with the start of Advent. In the secular world, when it comes time to celebrate the new year, we pause and look back, reflecting on the good, the bad, and then many of us start to think about our goals and ways that we hope to change. Over the past few weeks, we've been hearing Jesus' words about how we live. The scripture readings and the sermons that we have heard have left me with much to pray about and reflect upon. I wonder, what would it look like if we made our own personal resolutions about the authority of Christ in our lives? What would it mean to love your neighbor fully as you wish to be loved? Can we begin to imagine what that would look like if we enacted the value system of the reign of Christ? Communally, we at All Souls are really good about this, but what kind of radical transformation would occur if we could live this on our own personal levels? Each one of us reflecting a love of Christ into all and onto all that we meet, following the authority of Christ as a citizen in the kingdom that is not from here.